Let's open in prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for this part of our life, this subject which is on the minds of so many single people and is on the minds of so many married women. It is a glory to you. It's a beautiful thing, Lord, and yet we see how sin affects this view of our relationships. So we pray that as we look at your scriptures, and we do see some of the issues and some of the problems and troubles which happen, that you would use your scripture to heal those of us who are actually in these situations, and that you would help us who counsel others to have some resources to use as we talk to others. And Lord, we just pray that you would oversee all things and help us rejoice in the Lord always. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, graceless sex. You know that this topic is super important to married women, and it can be an issue for singles as well. And the great enemy of the Christian is Satan, right? And he would love to destroy marriages, rip apart those happy relationships who people got married, walking down the aisles, happy and joyous. And yet he would like to destroy that, weaken the church, weaken our testimony. So we have realized also that the Lord has created sex as a really great thing. It's going to bind us together with our spouse. It's going to be a picture of Christ in the church. Another reason why we're under attack. Another reason we're vulnerable. So, Christ has set us free, come to set us free from sin, and we've been created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, as we look at this type of marriage, which does not have grace, we see some of the major factors which cause these problems. And Carolyn Mahaney has a quote. She says, "Indifference and neglect are slowly eating away at the couple's affections, and often they are completely unaware." Indifference and neglect. So our first session, we talked a lot about, let's not neglect this. Let's make it an effort. Let's not be indifferent. Let's not be like this sad couple who live separately, who live like brother and sister. And Dennis Rainey, he has a book called Lonely Husbands, Lonely Wives. And he says, every day a partner in the marriage makes choices that result in oneness or in isolation. Make the right choices and you will have love, warmth, acceptance, and the freedom of true intimacy and genuine oneness as man and wife. Make the wrong choices, and you'll know the quiet desperation of living together, but never really touching one another deeply. So you've seen marriages like this. We're going to talk about some of the attitudes which create this type of marriage. I put selfishness as the first one. We can be blind to our own selfishness. So if you name the issue, then you'll know how to treat it. So if we name the issue of selfishness, those who go to bed and just, I cannot be bothered with this. I mean, what's wrong with him? He's always after me. These are people who are without love, as 2 Timothy 3:2-5, they're without love, not lovers of the good, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God. And when lovers of pleasure doesn't just mean happy pleasure, I want this, or it also means I really need a good night's sleep. Do you know what time it is? How hard I've been working? What time I have to get up in the morning? Okay. That's lovers of pleasure, too. That's your own pleasure, your own selfishness. And then somebody has said that the biggest barrier to sexual happiness is fatigue. And those who have little children at home, you can write the book on the whole fatigue thing. And not only that, but my body is being used to feed this child. And now, you know, is it supposed to be like this? Is it supposed to be for this? Or is it for this? So, again, it's selfish thinking. So, this is the first thing to go. When you're stressed or you're just tired, you're exhausted. This sexual relationship is the first thing to go often. And our poor husbands, that's all they've been looking forward to. Like the candy bar we've been saving for the end of our day, that's his candy bar, okay? And if we're selfish and we're not offering to share, then you're just creating division, unhappiness, and just the whole downward spiral. So with these different attitudes, I have put down the biblical thinking which can fight against the selfishness. Okay, so as you see, each one of these has a biblical answer. So Philippians 2:3, I mean, a lot of you have got that memorized. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Golden rule. Okay? You are thinking of others. As soon as you get your PJs on, you're starting to think of somebody else. You're not just having a love affair with your pillow. You're going to remember your husband. That's where your love affair goes on. And then 2 Timothy 3:2-5. Some people are without love, not lovers of the good, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And I really emphasized our first talk about how you can love God past 10 p.m. This is a way of loving God, is serving that way. And 2 Timothy 3:10-11, you, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance. These are the positive things we're going to be thinking about. This is my way of showing love. Now, another just attitude full of grace is that it's tied with the other. The first one, sex is a duty. And these are the women who've been at it so many times. It's just one thing more to worry about. This is my wifely duty. And that kind of attitude is not fulfilling to a husband. Okay? Just like I've heard one woman say, I just feel like a piece of meat. She's saying, this is just something I'm just going to have to endure. You're not showing grace that way. You're not showing love. It's the woman who says, just get it over with so I can sleep. Okay, how sad. Linda Dillo says, a man is not satisfied if his wife is just enduring. So it's not even fulfilling for him. Like you've probably seen movies, people with this issue struggling. And it's time now to evaluate the lifestyle, your priorities. Perhaps you have laid on the finest feast. You spent hours in the kitchen. You've got this table. You've got the main course. You've got an appetizer. You've got the vegetables. Everything's perfect. And then when you're done, man, now I've got to clean it up. So you clean it all up, and then nothing, no energy left at the end of the day. What priority do we have now? Okay. What's your husband truly interested in? Sure, he appreciates your efforts. But as I said before, you know, a hot dog would satisfy him if he's got a great time to look forward to later. He'll just take fast food. But let's spend like 45 minutes together after dark. That's going to be more satisfying to him. And so the attitude is that you're going to think about what's important for the other person. Again, unselfish. Not to think of yourself. Think about what God wants. And the biblical thinking here, Hebrews 13:4, again, the marriage bed is to be considered holy. It's pure. It's a good thing to invest your time in. And Proverbs 5:19, another helpful verse here, the one about being exhilarated. Those of us who are thinking of sex as a duty or just one more thing on my list are not exhilarated. They're not embodying this beautiful relationship that God has planned. And besides, Philippians 2:14, you tell that to your kids, right? Do nothing out of selfishness or complaining. Okay? That includes you. You're not complaining about this part of life. Not even in your head. Okay? Because you've got to control your thinking. Now, some people use sex as manipulation. He was good. He got me the Valentine's gift. It was really a winner. So here he goes. This is his reward. He is not treating me well, so he doesn't get it. And much less, he's eventually ending up on the couch because of his behavior. He's not doing what I want. He's not, well, I'm XYZ. I've got to have this kind of relationship, and he's got to be, you know, he's a disappointment in so many areas, so I have no respect for him. He's done. I wish I could spend the whole time talking about this, because a woman who's using sex as manipulation is in charge, right? She's the one that has the key. And that means that you have a skewed relationship. You have no submission here. You have her in charge. She's in the authority position. And you're not going to have a happy relationship. It's so key. So, I don't know if you've seen the movie The Painted Veil. I was watching this movie when I was preparing this message. We spent an evening watching it. And this was Edward Norton and some female lead, I can't remember. They were a couple in China. He was doing some kind of medical research. She ended up having a fling. He never mentioned it, but he punished her the rest of the movie. I mean, like, the most horrible things. Out in the wilderness in China in a cholera epidemic area. He doesn't care about her, what she does, how she, you know, if she's going to survive even. He's miserable treatment. And his line, when she finally confronted him, he said, "I'm angry at myself for allowing me to love you once." That was his revenge. That's sex is manipulation. He got back at her for what her affair did to him. So let's get some biblical thinking. Titus 2. Ugh. Titus 2, and that's 11 through 14, says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good." That's why we've been saved, to do good, to serve. And you also remember 1 Corinthians 7:3. The husband should not fulfill his marital duty to his wife. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband. Your body's not your own, basically. Now, another wrong way of thinking, a graceless attitude, is to focus on yourself in terms of your own body. Okay? I'm not anything like these young things. I don't feel sexy. I'm old. I've got plab. I'm loose. I'm falling apart in different places. I'm not taut and toned. So that is a really selfish attitude. That's a really selfish thing. And I'll just give you a secret. First I got to read to you Song of Solomon. And she says this. She's like, dark am I yet lovely, O daughters of Jerusalem, dark like the tents of Kedar, like the tent curtains of Solomon. That was in the day when you're not supposed to be tan. Do not stare at me because I'm darkened by the sun, etc., etc. So she's going on and on about her body image. But you're going to remember that your body is for your husband. And actually, a good husband doesn't care about those things. He's thinking about the true, deep relationship you have. And besides, he's going to rejoice in the wife of his youth. That's the wife of the youth. But now we're ending up with the wife who's had some pounds put on. She's had a few babies. So he's still rejoicing in the wife that he had when he was a youth. Did you ever think of that? Okay. So, and I'll just give you a secret. One way to lose 10 pounds fast: turn down the light. Okay? All right. So, in Intimate Issues, this book I recommend, she says, lay down the mirror of the world, which reflects unrealistic beauty standards, and pick up the mirror of God's Word, which offers a reflection of true beauty. So we're not all into the outward appearance anyway, right? We do our best. We do try. But what God loves is the inner self. And I would encourage you, take care of yourself. You know, eat right, exercise, and then focus, you know, accent your good qualities and your good body parts, if you can. So, I mean, you can do something, but let's not get all hung up on your self. So, some people take sex and just twist it into the most ugly picture of all. And so I'm going to spend a few minutes talking about the worst evil manifestations of a good gift that God has given. And the first thing is people use sex or that magnetism to get attention from others. Okay, we're talking about flirting, just the way you behave, the way you dress. All these are twisted because you're using it from other, you're not paying attention to your husband, you're trying to get attention from other people. We all know what that's all about. We've all seen it. So the way you fight against that, the wife's body does not belong to her alone, but also to her husband. Okay? So we're reserving our best features for our husband. Okay? We're going to dress modestly. We're going to be careful how we act towards men. We're even going to put up some rules. Like, if you're driving down to La Mesa for counseling on Thursday nights, Thursday afternoon, you are not going to drive with the other man counselor down there. You're going to drive separately. Who cares if it's $4 plus a gallon? You're protecting him. You're protecting yourself. You're not going to have any of that crossover. Okay. Now, another twisted view is pornography. And, I mean, you might say, okay, that belongs with the guys, but those of you who've been around the block a time or two know that it does belong. It's a woman's problem as well. It can be mild in a book you're reading, okay? And we have levels. There are some books that are called bodice rippers. All you have to do is look at the front cover. And there he is with his chest bared, and she's reading along. And okay, you know what I'm saying. I had a friend who, a guy, we knew a guy who told Jim, yeah, you ought to get your wife to read those because when you get home, she's ready. And if I told you the end of the story, they're divorced. Because that was a very shallow, twisted view of pure marital sex. Okay. So, it's dangerous. You see it in the magazines. You see it in literature. You see it in movies. It's leading into sin. It's just steps of slavery It's a kind of slavery, and men struggle and women struggle too. So there are many resources, and maybe you don't want to talk about it, but you can read a book. Like Elise Fitzpatrick, in her book, Women Counseling Women, has a section on women addicted to pornography. There are steps to take, starting with cut off is the first step. You cut it off. You confess. There needs to be accountability, and then you put up barriers. When I was at the grocery store a few weeks ago, I was checking out my groceries, and along comes this magazine, and the guy picks it up, and I go, no, no, no. It's like, that is horrible. I don't want it in my grocery cart. I don't want it. It had fallen off when my groceries got stuck on the thing, you know, it was going around and got stuck, and I was like, oh. First I'm thinking, what is that guy going to think of me? Which is wrong, but. And the second thing is, I don't want that anywhere nearby, because I don't know if you've ever seen those magazines, but you see the front cover and it's like, well, it's horrible. You don't want that in your mind, and you don't want your daughter to read it, so you know it's wrong. So that's part of the cutting it off. So we've got a few verses to help out. 1 Peter 1, 13 through 15. So this is so great for so many areas, but we'll use it here. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. You are a holy vessel. You are a temple. So you don't bring junk into your temple. Psalm 101, verses 2 through 3. I will walk in my house with a blameless heart. I will set before my eyes no vile thing. Okay. Those things get in your head, and it's hard to get them out. So you may say, okay, I'm not doing that, but some people have trouble with fantasizing, fictitious characters in stories, or actors. Wow, I just love anything by Mr. XYZ, because, wow, he's a hunk. Okay, you see, Christian women should not be saying things like that. Besides, what does your husband think when he hears that? Should I check out that movie, or should I never rent that movie? You know, when she's going on and on about this guy, how wrong is that? It's awful. So your biblical thinking, again, this is a beautiful passage. Take in 2 Corinthians 10:5, we take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. And I probably don't need to tell you this, but those people who are dreaming about other guys, or heaven forbid, dreaming while you're supposed to be having sex, are actually committing adultery, as Jesus said. Okay? Whoever looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. That is lust, and we're not going to be doing it. It's not God-honoring. So other people just take it a step further, and premarital sex or adultery, these kind of relationships, fornication. So we know that really you can't have casual sex. That's totally a contradiction in terms, because we're talking about sex as just the cleaving of two people in God's covenant. So casual sex is totally out of the question, not allowed. And I've put some verses there for that. We also have, let's say a woman doesn't want to sleep around, but she doesn't mind self-gratification. And something I was totally innocent of for a while, long while. But I've done some reading on people who have trouble with cutting. And as a stress reliever, and this is part of it, can be part of it for women. Just like, and then it kind of, it gets out of hand. I was reading a book, innocent as could be, on hysterectomies, okay, because I was going to have a hysterectomy and all the medical stuff. And at the end, she's giving directions on how to masturbate. So you do this, and then you do this. I'm never going to be able to loan that book to anyone unless I rip out all those pages. I could not believe it. I'm thinking, this is in just a book on for somebody trying to understand their operation, and you have to put that in there? So is that in our culture so much? I have to mention it because I'm afraid it is. And if it may be somebody you talk to, or it may be one of those secret sins that nobody will talk about. People who do that, I mean, it's like men, I guess. It's easier. There's no person involved, blah, 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 no relationship. But you're depriving your husband if you're married, because your body is made for your husband, including your sexuality. And then your verse, if you really want to fight against that, is the 2 Timothy 2:22, flee the evil desires of youth. And not only flee, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So that's what you're going to do. You're going to be fleeing to those good things. And now we want to talk a bit about idolatry, making sex an idol. And that's not just men who do it. Let's face it, women do it too. And you see it because of conflict. Okay, there are a lot of conflicts in this part of marriage. So James 4:1 says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? That means things you really, really have to have. You want something and don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And I'm talking about the husband who comes home with his little posies for Valentine's Day that he got quickly at the end of the day when they were a little bit wilted. And you're thinking, he didn't meet my expectations of what I wanted for Valentine's Day. Okay? Do you see how that could be an idol? And then you snap at him. Don't you know what I want? Don't you care about me? Okay? You're making an idol out of your own desires, your own wishes, your dreams of what the Valentine's Day would be about. And you can tell your friends, oh, you know what he did for me for Valentine's Day? Okay? You're setting him up for disaster with your own idol. And then that's where the fight comes in. So, and you might say, well, I want the kind of relationship that Mr. and Mrs. XYZ have. And he's not fulfilling my dreams of the man I thought I was going to marry. Or, Caroline, you don't know what he does when he comes home, and he's throwing his clothes on the floor, and he doesn't care for the children, and then just plants himself in front of the TV. Okay? You've made an idol out of this perfect paragon of a man who is actually a sinner, as much as you are. And then comes the fighting and the bickering and nagging and controlling. Or the person who says, you know, I just don't really like him anymore. This is the lady who's not investing to make her marriage strong. So your verse, again, you got to go back to 1 Corinthians 7. You're going to take all the verses I've already mentioned, but also that a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. That's your job. Your job. Sorry. When you do that, you're pleasing God. Okay? It's not self in this case. And then there's the performance-based idolatry. Again, he doesn't know how to be a good lover. I mean, he's so clumsy in bed. He's just he's not thinking of my feelings. Well, okay, does he know your feelings? Are you explaining to him what feels good and what is irritating? And let's be honest, it changes. Things change day to day. Sometimes this is irritating. Sometimes it's not. Don't touch me there today. I have PMS, and that hurts. You know, don't feel me up there. And then other days, it's like, oh, yeah, that's great. I mean, this poor guy, what is he going to do? So you got to talk to him. He doesn't know. And especially if he's a Christian husband, do you think he has any experience as a new husband, a groom? No, he doesn't. He does, like, you're a great big mystery to him. And he's really trying hard. He wants to be successful in this part of life. I mean, more than you think. He really wants to be successful. And if he's hearing complaints and, oh, no, no, groaning, and not the good kind of groaning, but like groaning, he's not going to be happy. So I have a quote from Linda Dello. He says, a man who is put down turns his life over to her, and then he resents her. So that's the ugly part. The good things to remember is not to criticize, to encourage, and our poor gal in Song of Solomon. He comes to her door, and she says, I've taken off my robe. Must I put it on again? I've washed my feet. Must I soil them again? And you know what he said? And then he's gone. She says she finally opens the door, and he's gone. So hopefully she learned her lesson. So I'm saying when it's not convenient, when you're so tired you can hardly stand it, this is the time when you're going to be giving, you're going to be loving. And maybe he forgot the candles, and maybe he didn't give romantic words. You're not going to make this whole performance to be your idol. You're going to serve, and you're going to help him. If you tell him you like candles, can you think candles will be all over the place? Yeah, you'll get candles for all your birthdays and Mother's Day, Christmas. You're going to get candles, okay? So let him. He wants to succeed. Okay, please, understand. So, now, I put in here a couple things that are really prideful attitudes we take into the bedroom. And one is, I am way better than he is. I don't have those animal instincts. Okay? There's something wrong with him. He's always acting like that, and he never gets enough. Okay, do you see how prideful that is? I'm like this. I'm holy, and he's just got drives. That is a prideful attitude. And just remember that God made him that way. He's the one who's out battling lions. No, he's out battling traffic. He's dealing with a boss who's aggravating to him. He's putting in hours in the yard. Okay, these are the things your husband's built for. And he's got those drives because God has made him that way. After all, Genesis, they were told to be fruitful and multiply. And if it were up to us, maybe there wouldn't be so many children in the world. No. Okay, that's part of him fulfilling God's mandate. So don't criticize him for that. And then I put in here, again, I don't like my body. Because that is also prideful. You're totally thinking about yourself. You're better. You don't have the kind of body that this girl has. And so there's nothing good that he could love about you. So I'm going to give you a verse which is so encouraging of the kind of beauty that God loves. And you know it, 1 Peter 3, 4 through 5. Well, starting at 3. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, and some Bibles say only, such as braided hair and wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. That's not what it's all about, you know, no matter what they say at the mall. Instead, it should be of your inner self, the unfading beauty. Yay! Unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. That is the kind of beauty that matters. And the older we get, the more we appreciate that. So, there's some people who still come in and they've got a series of questions. And pretty concerning, pretty major questions. So I'm going to address some of these so that maybe you'll get some answers if this is your question. And the first one I've heard is that, you know, my husband just doesn't seem interested. He doesn't initiate. And it's surprising, even young men doing this, not taking the effort in this area. First thing you do, I mean, maybe he's got a medical issue. Go to a doctor. Rule out physical reasons. But then we look at ourselves and our own marriage and what we might be doing to contribute to that problem. And it could be that we are belittling our husbands and not making him feel like a man. Okay? So if you've got a man who's not acting like a man, you might not be treating him like a man. You might, and the word is emasculating, which if you think about it carefully, you can see what it means. So Linda Dillo gives a quote. She says, acting like a mother, a spiritual advisor, or dietitian doesn't build romance. So it can actually cause opposite. You've got rebellion or tension or just, I can't be bothered. I can't satisfy her. I don't know what she wants. I'm giving up. He might be using pornography, which we're going to talk about some more. Maybe he's feeling guilty. Maybe there's something he needs to confess. Go before the Lord and confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed, James chapter 5. And it could be that it would do some good to have you both come in for marriage counseling or to talk to another couple in your church. It needs a lot of patience. It's actually a shared problem. It's not his problem alone. If he's not interested, we can do our part. And it would be great if we could spend a long time on this, because again, this is the submission headship issue. And if we've got the roles reversed, you're not going to get a happy sex life. So, well, some women say, well, I could care less. I'm not interested. And again, let's go in, let's go to our doctor, let's say, okay, now, what's wrong? Do I have some kind of hormone imbalance? You do that. You go in, you see there's a physical reason. Sometimes exercise kind of gets you going. They say it raises testosterone levels. I don't know. Don't exercise so that you're so falling down that you can't go to sleep, except, you know, can't have fun because you gotta rest. Okay, don't do that. Don't overdo it. But have you ever thought about Genesis 3:16, part of the curse? Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. And that's not talking about sexual desire. That's not part of the curse. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you? No, this is the, I desire to rule my husband, but he's going to rule over you. So again, we got your respect for your husband mixed up with the submission issue. And again, that can make everybody not interested. So, you know, in 1 Corinthians 7, your body does not belong to you. So when you say I'm not interested or I'm just so fatigued, I can't hardly think of anything like that, then you got to remember, okay, Lord, I remember now you told me my body is not my own. It's for my husband. And you're going to ask the Lord to help you. You're going to go back and you're going to review some of the verses we've talked about and say, oh, yeah, you know, this is important. It's important to my husband, so I'm going to make an effort. Maybe it's just going to be an act of will, but I'm going to do my best. It's going to be, hopefully, not even show that it's an act of my will. And let me tell you, one friend told me, you know what happens when you're not interested? A lot of times if you let yourself get involved, then you get interested. It's again the whole slow crock pot versus the guy who's in the microwave. So give it a chance. I mean, if you say, I'm not interested, but give yourself some time. Let yourself realize this is a good part of marriage, and God gave it to you for stress relief and all these things you're complaining about. Besides, you're going to get a better night's sleep, huh? Okay? So those are the things you're thinking about. And it could be, I'm not interested because I have guilt. I'm carrying around guilt for past relationships or just all kinds of sins burdening you down. And that, again, you bring to the Lord, and He loves to forgive. You can confess to one another, James 5:16. Again, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. It's a shared problem. If we have continual, no, not tonight, no, not tonight either, that is a shared problem. You both are going to pray. You're both going to work on it. Communicate, talk. And ask the Lord. Do you think you can pray to the Lord about sex? Yes, you can. You should. This is a good thing. God made it good. It's beautiful. God wants you to be happy. So does He want you to pray if you're at an impasse or if you're stuck? Yes. Do so. He will answer. Now, there are some who say, my life is a disaster because of menopause. Sex is like all wrong now because of menopause. It's either really, really painful, or I have no drive. I'm all different from when I started out married life. Now, for you, I'd say your gynecologist is your new best friend. Go to your gynecologist who don't think he or she has never heard of that before, because they have a range of help for you. Of all kinds. It's nothing shameful or embarrassing to say, things have changed, I need help. I really need help, because that's what their job is, to help you in that area. And, like, if you had a lack of desire to eat, don't you think you would get on that really fast? You'd say, you know, life would start deteriorating rapidly. So if you have a lack of desire for sex, that's something also you need to get on really fast, because it's two people who are affected. Don't just let it go. Don't just say, oh, okay, you know, I'll just live the rest of my life like this. No, don't do that, because that's not a God-honoring, happy life. Okay, so then we get into this. I know it's a real problem, men into pornography. And the first thing I want to say is something maybe you, your best friend, or someone has told you, that husband is asking her to do things she does not want to do, or she can't even believe. What? This is, it could be because of a guy looking at images of perverted or twisted or wrong sex. And so he says, okay, I'll take this and get my wife to do this. Don't participate in sin. And you've got tons of verses on that. And I'm talking about kinds of sex that are demeaning, painful, violent. I don't want to give a lot of details, but wish we could all be innocent of that problem. So we've got some commands, Ephesians 5. But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality, or any kind of impurity or greed, because they are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Serious sin here. And again, in Ephesians 5:11, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. So we're not going to talk about details. But you can get help. You could ask your husband to go see somebody, to get an accountability. There's a whole lot that can be done to help a man in that way. And in fact, one time we got a phone call at midnight of a wife saying, "My husband wants me to do this, and I don't want to. Would you talk to him?" It really happened. And yeah, my husband got on there and says, "What are you thinking? If your wife says no, that's not what you should be doing." And, you know, giving all the verses about your body is not your own, and, you know, let nothing be done for selfishness. And that was the end of that. We didn't hear them from them anymore. Hopefully they're not having that problem. So get help. And don't participate. Like I said, some wives will say, "Okay, well, it'll get me off, get him off my case, so I'll do this or that." But you remember Ananias and Sapphira were both guilty. Whoever it was had the idea, let's cheat the church by saying we're giving a certain amount. We're not. They're both, they were both struck dead. So don't think you could participate and stay guilty because your mind's, heart's not in it or whatever. Don't do that. And this problem, if a man is into pornography, you need to think, first of all, what you can do to help him. And I don't mean go along. I mean get, for you pray for him, you encourage him to see somebody, and take action. I'm afraid some women just say, "That's good. He just goes and does his own thing, and he leaves me alone." That is no picture of Christ and the church and God's love, okay? That is also selfish. And that's how a lot of men go downhill into child sex and all these things, and the wife is fine. I mean, you see this, what's his name, got arrested, and he was married? The one who had the girl in the backyard and all this? He was married, and I imagine that, I don't know what happened, but I can imagine. So, and in terms of pornography, I'm not talking about men who kind of, their eyes stray a little and they bring themselves back. So don't get horrified if your husband's like, notices somebody. Because men are fighting. And, you know, there's a whole spectrum of types of, you know, worse and worse cases. So that, again, needs more investigation, more help from outside. So don't be horrified that our guys sometimes notice girls. Okay. So some women say, "Well, my husband, the way he goes about it is just so selfish. I mean, it's like, get in and get out and get on." So this is also something important to talk about. And if you want to talk to your husband and explain how you feel about this, you're going to pick the moment. A word in Proverbs 25:11, this is your memory verse for today. For this, a word aptly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver. You're going to pick a moment and it's not right then. You're going to say, "Honey," and you're going to go tell him how you like things to be done, how you get built up, how slow you have to go sometimes. Okay? So, because he may not be knowing what you're like. We tend to treat people the way we are. So he may not realize that, wow, we need some kind of build up here. We need to spend time. And so do that. And it could be that you need to confess again sins to each other of being selfish in this area. You need to control your mind and what you're thinking. You need to confront your brother in love if necessary. And commit it to prayer. I would also advise you to go to that Titus 2 woman in your life. I hope that you have somebody you can talk to and say, "You know, I'm kind of struggling in this area. My husband's like this, and, you know, everything's over in 10 minutes, and I just don't find that fulfilling." I'm sure that a wise married woman would love to give you counsel and advice. So use that resource. Now, other people say that, "You know, I can't get excited because my mind starts thinking the wrong things. This girl's been molested as a child. Maybe she's got bad memories from past sexual relationships before she was married. You know, all this kind of stuff that you bring into your bedroom. Could be that your conscience, the boundaries of your own conscience were broken because of some pressure from somebody else. And this is where you put into action the principles in Galatians 4, put off and put on. So let's look at that, because there's probably more than one person who has this, maybe not here, but maybe on video or audio. So Ephesians says, you were taught, this is 4:22, you were taught with regard to your former way of life, and it could be a promiscuous lifestyle, it could be a stepfather who molested you. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self. Put it off. Get rid of it. If confession is necessary, confess. Put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind. And to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So with effort, and I'm not saying it's easy, but with effort to put off, renew your mind, and put on the new self, these beautiful pictures of marriage in the Bible, you can train your mind to think about those things at the moment. Okay? Your mind's not just flitting all over the place. I'm telling you, don't think about other guys. I'm telling you, don't think about whatever book or fantasy you read. I'm also telling you, don't think about your former way of life, but renew your mind and put on the new self, which is a beautiful picture. The new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And God will do it for you. He will. That's His desire for you after all. That's what you've been created for. So you can also go back over some of these passages we've talked about just to remind yourself of what God's picture is. And to dwell on what God wishes for you. That's it. If you want to talk, we can talk about that. Now, the next point I put in here, because there's some women who don't even know what we're talking about when you're saying you're climbing to the very heights of the heights. Okay? They don't know what is that, or have I ever done that? I'm not even sure. Okay? And some of these things may be related to this lack of submission I was talking about, because she has trouble yielding, so she can't be relaxed or free in this situation. She's got all kinds of other things in her mind. She's not thinking, God's created me like this. You know, I should be responding. This is fun. This is Garden of Eden type life, you know. She's got all this stuff in her head. And then you need to ask yourself, am I shifting? Am I mothering my husband? I mean, it's weird anyway to think, you know, I'm treating my husband like a child, and so, well, that's really weird. I'm not going to do that. So, yeah, I wouldn't be able to. So, and then, again, communicate. I mean, this guy, he doesn't really know what makes you excited, and like I said before, hey, it changes. We're so exciting. We change all the time. So he can't tell what it is. Is this good or is this good? No, so you're communicating. And then just please relax. Just relax. Just relax. You got your door locked. The teenagers hopefully aren't within earshot. You know, you're in a private place. And communicate. Give it time, too. Give it time. Focus on serving each other. Talk. It's not wrong to talk while you're in that spot. You know, just talk about it. And if you really need to talk to somebody, yeah, go ahead. And besides, there's a whole stack of books that answer the questions about that exactly, that you can look and nobody will know you've read that chapter. So go ahead. Go ahead, because we don't want you to miss out. I mean, you may feel like, you know, it sounds like everybody else is okay in that, but I'm missing out. Don't miss out. Don't miss out. God wants you to have complete happiness. So we've also got, what put 1 Corinthians 7, because your body is not your own. You belong to Christ. You belong to your husband. And then I've also put in here that older woman, the Titus 2:4 woman who can help you, if possible. Be patient. Just be patient. It may take a while. Now, then you got the other wife. And she says, well, really, you know, I don't mind if he doesn't touch me anymore. You know, I kind of let myself gain weight because that'll get him out off my case. And this is, again, the most super selfish wife you could think of. And the person who starts thinking like this, like, I don't want him to bother me, that is like, warning, warning, these are big red lights. Because we've heard of marriages, or maybe we've seen our own parents who end up just like cohabitants. They're brother and sister acting. But what we want is the teenager who comes in and goes, Mom, Dad, go get a room. Okay, but the woman who's saying, I don't want any of that, I can't be bothered, I'm going to actually put on weight because that'll keep him away from me, then you're selfish, you're being unbiblical, and you're actually tearing down your house. Again, we've talked about Proverbs 14:1. You can, a wise woman builds her house, but the foolish woman tears it down, even with her own hands. Think, would you like your daughter to be like that? Do you want her to have a marriage like that? No, you want to be a picture of God, Christ in the church, an example. And then I've had women come in and say, you know, he's pretty disgusting. He doesn't take a shower before he comes to bed. His hands are all yucky. I can't. Ooh. So this is just, guys don't know. No. So you got to talk. And I think the wise husband who hears his wife say, honey, could you just wash your hands? Or could you just take a shower? I think the wise husband will respond to that. And then you might offer to help him, you know, give him specific, you know, if you brush your teeth, it would be so much better. You know, let him know. And then when he does what you like, yes, yes. And we're not talking about behaviorism. We're talking about just reinforcing positively. Oh, that's so great. You know, because he may not get it completely, but when he sees your reaction, hopefully he'll respond. He'll say, okay, she really likes that. And he'll do it. So we come to our question, how can I change my husband? I've got this husband who's got all of these different hang-ups and I've so many complaints about him. But the first thing you do is you've got to understand grace. Again, we're going to bring grace into it. Remember that God has shown you grace. 1 John 3:16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If God did that for you, you can do that for others. I mean, you willingly do it for your little toddler, right? Oh, so many mothers give up their lives for their toddlers. Yes, honey, what do you want? Anything. But treat our husbands like dirt? Well, if you can do that for your toddler, you can do so much more for the man you've committed to for the rest of your life. Because that toddler is going to grow up, and you'll have your husband with you. And so the time you invest, even when you're so tired and can hardly think straight, the time you invest when the kids are little will benefit you when your two of you are alone in the house again. And you'll see the positive results. So we should also show grace to our husbands as well. And I'm going to take a section out of Linda Dillo's book, Creative Counterpart, and tell you a few things to show grace. Number one, be patient. Be patient. And I'm talking about the mom who acts one way on the phone and snarling at her husband. Okay? That's it. That's hypocrisy. So let's be patient. Let's be tolerant of our husband just as much as we are with the neighbor. And happy, nice to see you. And then, let's do that whole happy, nice to see you. Welcome home. So glad you're here, honey. Let's do that at home. Just like we would do anybody who comes in the front door. Do you need a drink? You know, anything. You can use your mind. Think of that. So the next thing is to speak with wisdom. And you can appeal to him. And we have this paragon of virtue in Proverbs 31. And we have verse 12. She brings him good and not harm all the days of her life. This woman in Proverbs 31 is an example of doing good for her husband all the days of her life. And then again at verse 26, she speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. And I take that to mean a wife can speak wisdom to her husband. Submission doesn't mean silence. It means coming alongside. You know, we're working together. I'm telling you some things that I've learned from the Bible, but not in a lecturing way. But she's speaking wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Speaking the truth in love, Ephesians. And then you listen to him. You could show grace. Listen to him. Really listen to him. How was your day? Oh, how was your day? Really concentrating on what he's saying. Some of you, maybe you're married to guys in the defense industry, and you'll say, what did you do today? And he'll go, it's a secret. I can't tell you. But you can still draw him out. Work hard. And what interactions did you have? Or what's making you happy? What's making you sad? Show me. Yeah, tell me something about what's going on. You're building that deep friendship, the deep relationship. And maybe you have to go somewhere. Sometimes, you know, if you have a back porch, you go sit outside. You go out to eat, and you're getting into this deeper level instead of just business, children. But you're really finding out, you're developing a relationship. That's going to build happier, hotter sex life. Okay. And you don't interrupt. And he starts talking. Some of the husbands are really quiet. And then they start talking. And pretty soon you've got something to say. Okay? You can refrain from doing that. And it's a good exercise for you. You sit and listen. And you give encouragement. And a little question here and there. Because the man who keeps trying to share and gets cut off, he's not going to share the next time. Or it's going to be less. And he's going to be inhibited. So let's work on just developing communication and loving that way. And Linda Dillo says we need to forget the sins that have been forgiven. Again, just a basic principle living with a Christian sinner. You've forgiven, so you're going to forget that, not bring it up. You're going to encourage him in righteousness. So positive. Encouraging in righteousness. Yes, honey, I really like the way you did that. Thank you so much for doing that. And don't squash his dreams. Some of our husbands are big, mythical movers and shakers. Yes, I'd like to go and do this mission or go move here and do some dramatic thing. And a couple people in the Bible who were good wives, Noah's wife, we don't have any indication she squashed his dream, which was actually a command. Sarah followed her husband. That's why she's commended. She followed him to go live in tents the rest of her life, leave her family. Admire his masculine qualities. These are ways of remembering grace. And you're going to be like the lady in Song of Solomon. I mean, she's into everything, right? You're this part of you I love. This part of you I love. She's describing him. She's admiring his muscles, his drive, the way he fixes things. There's plenty of stuff we can admire about our husbands, right? Good masculine qualities. That's how you make a man feel manly. Instead of putting him down, mothering him, you're going to build him up. Oh, you know, you're so good at this compared to me and all these things. Okay, you can learn. And we do that for each other, don't we? Love your shoes. I just love that outfit. I love your hair. You know, we do that for each other, right? Let's do some of that with our husbands. It doesn't have to be outward appearance. It could be those really good qualities we see. So, but you know what we're going to do more is we're going to love God more. We're not going to make our idol our husband's love for us. We're going to love God primarily because that'll get you through the hard times and the sticky times. And those times when it's really hard. If we love God more, we're going to withstand those times of tiredness and selfishness. We're going to find rest for our souls by loving God more. And he, after all, tells us to love our neighbor as ourself. Second greatest commandment. The first one, though, love the Lord your God. That's the greatest commandment. And another piece of advice is give your husband to the Lord. Like Linda Dillo says, I told God about his bad points, and I told him about his good points. How novel is that? Try it. Talk to God about it. And she also says, it's a wife's job to make her husband whole. It is God's responsibility to make him holy. You're not the spiritual leader of him. You can speak words of wisdom. Please do. But it's not your job to fix him, make him holy. It's the Holy Spirit. She says, the Holy Spirit doesn't need a wife to be a Holy Spirit. Okay, so we're going to try to be careful that way. And just, we can't avoid the verses in the Bible that talk about repetition. We can't avoid the verses in the Bible which talk about repetition over and over and over and over and over. After a while, people just tune it out, don't they? So the husband will do the same thing. It'll have the opposite effect. Don't think by saying it again and again, he'll finally get the point. Okay, it's going to have the opposite effect. So refrain from that, please. So in conclusion, I just want to give you a few verses. And the first thing we're going to do is look at where we might have sinned. There might be some sin in our lives. And then we can confess our sins. And he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. It could be some things have come to light that you didn't realize. Inadvertent sins or deliberate sins. And this is the time to go before the Lord and just confess. Ask for his forgiveness. And then just realize it takes a while to build a marriage that's been broken, it's been full of grace, less sex. You can build it, though, with patience. It's a slow process, this putting off, putting on. And like one friend I have, she says, this is hard work. It's hard work to constantly put off wrong thoughts and put on right thoughts and renew our mind. The Lord rewards that. That's the Christian life anyway. It's constantly striving for holiness. And God will give us grace. It says in 2 Corinthians 4:16-17, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes, that means staring, like really staring at something. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. And I've been reading through the book of Leviticus. Yay! Leviticus. But here's a gem that applies. Leviticus 20:7-8. Consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am the Lord your God. Keep my decrees and follow them. I am the Lord who makes you holy. And again, he can make a marriage holy. He can renew our lives. He changes our desires. He can revolutionize this part of marriage. But no matter what, he can be honored. He can be honored if you're married to a husband who's makes sex an idol. All these other problems. And the Lord sees. So I want to remind you of 1 Corinthians 15:58. And this is my prayer for you, ladies. Therefore, my dear sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we come before you with thoughts of sadness, perhaps, things we see in our marriages which are not ideal. We long for a marriage which honors you. We long for a husband who leads us properly. We long to be a picture of Christ in the church, to be an example to the young couples around us and our friends, and perhaps those of us who have teenage children. We see that we want to be the kind of marriage that we want for our own kids. And so as we think about those things and we have regrets and we have sadness, we do ask you to cleanse those. Help us to receive the grace that you've given, the new life, the changed life which comes upon a believer. And we ask that you would help us to give grace as well. Once we understand grace, just make us gracious wives. Those of us who are single, make us full of grace and patience and love as we follow Christ. And so we pray that you walk with us. We cannot do anything without you, Lord. And so we commit our marriages to you, our ideals, and we pray, Lord, that you would make us more full of love for you, the perfect bridegroom. Fill our hearts with love. In Jesus' name, amen.